Episode 43. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. You'll need to be able to work with groups or collections of items. A game that only has one character, with one quest, and with one shop that sells one item isn't going to be very fun. You have choices, and this episode continues more than a week-long exploration of collection types available. You'll learn when to use each type of collection and why. Up today is the hash table. I'll explain what hash tables are and then give you some guidance on when to use them. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code free live class? Text PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. Sometimes all you need is to be able to add and remove items in a collection and then find them later. If you're not concerned about order, then a hash table is a good choice. Let's say that you know exactly where you want to add an item based on a number. Each item has its own number. You could allocate an array big enough to hold all the items and then put each one in its own spot. Think of a parking lot where everybody has a reserved spot. You don't need to search for a spot. You just drive your car directly to your reserved space. If you're not using the parking lot, then your space remains empty. This is actually a very good solution if all the spaces are normally full and you can control where everything goes. But what do you do if your parking lot can hold up to 2,000 cars, but there's usually only 100 or so at any given time? You're just wasting all that space. If this was a computer program, you'd be wasting memory. A better solution would be to reserve less space and calculate the position an object will occupy based on some property of the object. Taking the parking lot example, maybe we could add up all the numbers and letter values on the license plate, then divide that by the total number of parking spaces. The division probably won't be exact, but even if it is, that doesn't matter because what we're really interested in is the remainder. If all the parking spaces are numbered, then the remainder will identify the parking space to be used. If you forget where you parked your car, just go through the process again to calculate the remainder, and that's where your car will be. The actual name for the final spot in the collection is the hash. And a hash table is sort of like this parking lot. Whatever method is used to calculate the location or the hash, it should have some important properties. What happens if two cars arrive at the parking lot with different license plate numbers, but they just happen to arrive at the same hash? This is called a collision, and that's exactly what happens if you try to park two cars in the same spot. The first property is that the method should produce a hash result as random as possible. This randomness should result in a large difference in the hash, even with a small difference in the properties. Just think of two cars arriving with only a single number different between their two license plates. A good hash method will place these cars in very different locations. I mentioned randomness, but any hash method needs to be repeatable. You won't be very happy if you forget where you parked your car only to have the hash method send you to a different spot each time. While collisions in the parking lot are very bad, computer hash tables can handle collisions very easy. I'll explain how right after this message from our sponsor. Even the most famous programming experts had to start somewhere. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to 44222 now. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. You get tangible results from the beginning. Text the word PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Instead of putting items directly into a hash table location, each location can have a double-linked list. Now, there's no problem if two items hash to the same value because they'll both go into a list. If you want to find an item, this means that you can sometimes need to search through a linked list. But if your hash table is constructed properly, you should have very few collisions and therefore just a few items to examine in the list. The worst case for a hash table happens when all the items hash to the same value and end up going into the same linked list. This gives a big O of N speed. You shouldn't run into this situation in practice, so the normal time required to insert, find, and delete items in a hash table is big O of 1. I mean, calculating hash value requires reading various properties, combining them in some way, performing some mathematical operation, and then possibly scanning through a linked list. Remember that big O notation doesn't specify exactly how long something will take because different computers run at different speeds. And you can even have different hashing methods with more or less amount of work to be done. But none of this depends on how many items are in the hash table. This is all fixed work that takes some amount of time. Because the time required is constant, that's what gives us a running time of big O of 1. As long as the number of collisions is kept low, then the time required to scan through the list just gets added into the time required to calculate the hash value. I mentioned how you could divide some number by however many spaces you have in the hash table and use the remainder as the index into the hash table for where an item will be stored. This is called the division method. It's important that you carefully select how many spaces you have available in your table, or you'll end up with a poor hash method. A good way to select this value is to choose a prime number that's as far from a power of 2 as possible. Powers of 2 are just the binary placeholder values 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, etc. Just find a prime number between one of the power of 2 values, and that will give you a good number of places in your hash table based on how many items you expect to be placing in the hash table. Another way that you can generate your hash values is called the multiplication method. With this method, you multiply your key properties by a fractional value between 0 and 1, and then take just the fractional value of that result and multiply by the size of your hash table. It's just a matter of choosing a good initial fractional value. The nice thing about this approach is that you don't have to worry about adjusting the size of your hash table itself to be a prime number. I'll end this episode with some advice that could help you avoid a denial of service attack. I talked about denial of service attacks in two Q&A Friday episodes from January 8th and 16th of this year. Let's say that an attacker is providing the items that your code is going to put into a hash table. The attacker could then choose items that, even though they're different, result in collisions. If you add enough of these items to your hash table, then you could degrade the performance of your hash table so that it starts approaching a running time of big O of N. That's bad. The attacker can do this if your hash method is known. But what if you had many hash methods available and could select one at random? Once you select a hash method, then you'll need to keep using that same method. But just the fact that you have choices will make it harder for an attacker because the exact method will not be known ahead of time. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. and you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.